study together about the Christian home. You know, my friend, the home is the backbone of our country. The home is the backbone of our city. The home is the backbone of the church, because God has ordained the home. The home is created and ordained of God. Homes that exclude God are subject to many worldly pursuits that lead one away from God. Greed, lust, alcoholism, hatred, and things of this nature. Homes that have God at their center are the ones that have the best chance for happiness and contentment. Women and children are treated with dignity and respect, and daily pursuits are based on what pleases God, while at the same time being best for the entire family. God created the home in the beginning when God made man and God made woman. God could have made two men, but he didn't do that. God could have made two women, but he didn't do that. He created a man and a woman. And he brought Eve unto Adam, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, Jesus said, let not man put asunder." My friend, the home is to be protected. The home is ordained of God. It's the oldest institution known to man. God created the home so that children could be born and so that lives could be happy and fulfilled. And so to have a godly wife or a godly husband and a godly home is something to be very proud of and something to be protected and taken care of. And I want to talk about the home tonight, the Christian home. In Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus is finishing up his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Therefore, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Here God is talking, or Jesus is talking, about individual lives as well as individual homes. My friend, we are responsible for building our life upon Jesus Christ, but also we are responsible for building our homes upon Jesus Christ. God has given the divine order of the home and how that man should be the head of the household and how that he should protect his wife and children, how he should provide for them, how that the woman should be chaste, discreet, keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and how that the parents are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and how that the God of heaven should be glorified in the home. I want to look at some things that make for a godly home and family tonight, and see some of the things that pertains to our homes. The first thing that I want to consider is that the Word of God is to be taught in the home. You may say, "Brother, I thought that's what the church is for." Well, certainly it is. And we are to have godly preachers that would read their Bibles and study their Bibles and prepare lessons that would edify, that would benefit the church, and also convert sinners to the truth. And that's certainly a function of the church. We should have teachers that teach our young ones in the way of godliness and true holiness, so that as they progress throughout their life, they may have a solid foundation upon which to build. And so the church is responsible for those things. But do you know, dear friend, and especially you fathers, that God has given the responsibility for doing this upon the home and upon the fathers? It's our responsibility to make sure that the Word of God is taught in our homes and that our children understand what God's will is with regards to all the things that are going on in the world today. Follow with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Moses is talking unto the children of Israel, and he says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, what is to be in their heart? It is the words that Moses was speaking to them. Where did Moses get his message from? He got it from the Lord. He got it from God. And so when Moses spoke, he was speaking as an oracle of God. He was giving God the glory and the honor for the things that are being taught. And God says that these should not just be in a book or in a scroll, should not be just on your dresser or upon your end tables, but Moses said these words are to be in thine heart. My friend, the only way to get them there is to study and memorize God's Word. Back years ago, we used to have lessons that had a text to them, and many times we would ask that the memory verse be memorized. And so that way the audience could memorize a Bible verse along with the preacher, and that they could study together and learn. And so Moses said, "These words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, it doesn't say passively, doesn't say after the fact, it doesn't say as something that may be brought up when everything else has been exhausted, but he says, "You should teach them diligently to your children." In other words, you should use every opportunity that you have to teach your children godly lessons from the great book. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." So when we sit down and the family's together, whether it's at mealtime or whether it's at reclining or recreation time, we should talk about God. We should talk about the Bible. And so our children can learn from us the things God wants us to know. "And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." My friend, it seems as though Moses wanted the words of God to be everywhere in the home. And it's good, my friend, to have the Word of God available in the home, whether it's in the Bible, the book, the Bible, whether it's in cassette tapes that have the Bible on them, or whether it's preaching tapes. We record every Bible study lesson and every sermon that is preached from this pulpit, and they're available to be copied and passed out to anyone that wants them. I know that Mike has offered that many times. I offer that. If you need or you would like to have a recorded sermon, you need just ask for that, because it's available. And we record them for that purpose, also for the putting on of the radio program that we sponsor, which, by the way, many people recently have congratulated us on the radio program and the good that it does in our community. And so, my friend, the Word of God was to be available. It was to be everywhere. A good pointer that maybe you may use is to have a cork board, a bulletin board, or a grease board in your home, and take the time to write a daily Bible verse on that, or maybe print it out and put it on that so that everyone can see a daily Bible verse. in their home. That would be a good suggestion as well. But Moses is saying the Word of God should be everywhere and available to the family. And he says these same words in Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 20. So my friend, one of the greatest things we can do is to teach the Word of God in our homes. The next thing that I want us to consider is that the Lord is to be served in our homes. I know that many times we think of serving ourselves, helping ourselves, doing great things for ourselves and our family. How about serving God in the family? My friend, the family was created to honor God. It was created to glorify God. It was created to bring forth children that would be brought up in the nurture and training of God, so that God can be pleased and His work can be carried on through the family and through the church of the living God. And God's Word is to be practiced in our home. Joshua 24, verse 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, not just in pretense, not just in passing by, not just in some feigned way, but we are to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." My friend, our homes should be built around the thought that we're going to serve God. We're going to go to church every time the doors opened, and at the earliest available time, we're going to work in our community. We're going to accomplish things through Jesus Christ, through the church, for the betterment of society. And we're going to sponsor the gospel message, whether we preach it ourselves or whether we enable others to preach it. We're going to serve God in the family. The family is the backbone of the congregation, my friend. And in order for this church to grow and to remain here for many years, as Brother Mack taught in his lesson this morning, and Jody so eloquently brought to us in his prayer, then we are to raise up our family. We're to be strong in the family area and strong with our children. But God is to be served in the family. Number three, we are to behave ourselves in the family. The father should act like the father. The mother should act like the mother. The children should act like the children. And we should function as God has designed for us to function. And we should not do things that are out of character with Christianity. It's been said that a man's true character is known by what he does when no one is looking. How many times have people of religion have been shown to be ungodly when caught up in some publicized scandal? We've seen this many, many times over through the years, where a evangelist was supposed to be some great evangelist and be preaching and teaching some great lessons, and then it's caught up that they've been in some type of scandal that brought shame upon themselves and upon the organization that they represented. My friends, may it never be so with us, but may we be who we say we are. May we not pretend, but may we be the Christian that God wants for us to be. David said in Psalm 101 and verse 2, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." My friend, the music that we listen to, what kind of music do we have in our home, and what kind of reflection upon God and the church does it bring? Do we teach our children godly things by the music that we listen to? What about the television programs that we have on, those with dirty language and dirty pictures and things like that? Do we watch these things, and do we let our children know that we watch them? Is there a television hour for the children and then for the adults? My friend, it should be that if we watch television, whatever's on television should be for the parent and the children. There shouldn't be some separation between what a parent can watch and what a child can watch. But we should watch things that are wholesome, those things that are edifying, those things that would build up rather than things that would not. Because David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. In other words, he says, I'm going to behave myself in my house. I'm not going to do things that God doesn't approve of. I'm going to behave myself the way God would have me. And I'm going to behave myself the way I would if Jesus was a guest in my house. The next item that I want us to consider is the deceitful and the liar is not welcome there. My friend, you should not allow the drunkard into your home. You should not allow the one that is friend of the world into your home to influence your children, I mean. You should not allow these things to take place in your home on a regular basis where that your children are influenced by wicked things. How often do we allow ungodly people to be entertained in our home, all the while influencing our children and ourselves? Think about Lot and his daughters, and how that he was there in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that he vexed his righteous soul day by day with the wicked deeds of the unrighteous people that were living there. And no doubt his family had to have been influenced by those things. He had daughters that married men of that area, and no doubt they were lost when the Lord destroyed these cities and delivered just Lot and his wife at one point, who turned back and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And so we see that these types of people should not be entertained in our home on a regular basis. In Psalm 101 and verse 6, the Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. He was not going to be influenced by these people, and he was not going to let his home be influenced by these people. And so he made sure that the ones that were entertained in his house were those that were godly and righteous, and those that would not influence his family for a bad way. So the deceitful and the liar was not welcome there. Number five, children are welcome additions to a home. My friend, how many babies have been killed through abortion since 1973? How many children would be living today and be able to choose right from wrong, would be able to choose God and righteousness and stand up for truth, that are not allowed to live because someone just chose that they didn't want to have a child, although it had already conceived and God had already knew it? The Bible says that God knows you before you're placed in the mother's womb. And so, my friend, the child not knowing good or evil, not having an opportunity to live, are snuffed out. How many times have children been abandoned when they've been born? How many times have they been left to die or tossed into a garbage can or things like this? My friend, in a Christian home, children are welcome additions to a home. And we love our children. We love our grandchildren. And we respect God. And we know that life comes from God, and only life should be taken by God. And so we realize that life is sacred. How many children have been murdered simply because they were not wanted in the Christian home? Children are seen as a gift. In Psalm 128 and verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, that it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Here it was a blessing to have a fruitful wife, to have children like olive plants around your table. It was seen as a blessing. And yet in modern society, it's not seen as that. Many times children get in the way. And when they get in the way, they're often tortured or tormented or cast aside or perhaps even aborted before they're born. My friends, these things ought not to be so, but children ought to be accepted as they are, a gift from God. And we should take the responsibility that we have to bring up our children in the training of the Lord so that they may learn and grow and be Christians. Number six, the poor are entertained there. My friend, there's always the poor here upon the earth. Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. And my friend, we have today just like we have years ago. And the poor should be entertained in our homes. If we have an opportunity to help, we should do so. While we must be careful not to put ourselves in jeopardy, we must admit that there are many poor people that we could assist if we tried. In Isaiah 58 and verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou hast seen the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh. These are the things that God desires, my friend, as we live a Christian life, is to help those around us that are in need. When we have the opportunity and the means to do that, we should help in every way that we can. Number seven, prayers are offered there. My friends, the prayers are so important. And many times I don't think we give prayer its just due. We don't realize the great effect of prayer. God wants us to pray. God wants us to ask Him for things. God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to honor Him in prayer. And God is willing to give us things if we ask. Jesus said, ask and seek and knock. And my friend, if we would but do that, many times we would have the things that we do without simply because that we don't ask. How many homes are relying on God daily and taking advantage of His love for us? If we do not pray as a family, what are we saying to each other with respect to our devotion and need for God? If we don't pray as a family, my friend, we're telling each other that it isn't important or that God doesn't care. Our children should see us praying. They should know that their father and mother depends upon God. We should pray with our children. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one time and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And my friend, our children need to learn how to do that. And the only way they're going to learn is if they learn from us. If we teach them what a prayer is, and how we should ask for things, and how that we should thank God for things, and how that we should seek and ask and knock. Prayer is very important. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. In other words, the king had signed a declaration that if anyone prayed to any other god other than one that he had erected, they would be cast into a furnace of fire. And Daniel knew that the writing was signed. And the Bible says his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, he didn't allow the king's decree to stop him from praying to God. And my friend, we shouldn't allow anything to stop us from praying to God. Prayer is a great tool that God has given you, and he has given me, and has given us as a church. That's why when we come together, we have prayers. The Apostle Paul said that first of all, that we should have prayer, supplication, and giving of thanks for all men. And my friend, that's what we do. We give thanks and we ask God for the things that we need in this life. Prayers are offered in a Christian home. Consider the home of Noah. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. My friend, it was important to Noah to obey God. It was important to Noah to save his family. And so when we have that regard to our family, we'll be okay. Consider Cornelius' house. Acts 10, 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So his whole house feared God and was devoted as Cornelius was. Consider Philip's house, Acts 21, 8 and 9. "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." No doubt this man was bringing up his children in the nurture and training of the Lord. He had a godly house. "And to end, righteousness, a righteous house endures." In Proverbs 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." My friend, our homes are important. Our families are important. The church is important. And so let's give due diligence to our homes. Let's be the very best husband we can be. Let's be the very best wife we can be. Let's be the very best parent we can be. Let's be the very best child that we can be. Let's honor God in the home. Let's do the things in the home God ordains to be done. Let us come to church together. Let us read together God's word. Let us pray together. Let us do all the things that God wants us to do as a Christian home. If your home is Christian, then I congratulate you, and I hope that it will continue to be such. If you're not currently in Christ, you can't lead your family in a right way. Will you get in Christ today, live in Christ, die in Christ, and then heaven will be your home? The Bible tells us to repent and be baptized in order to the forgiveness of sins. If you're willing to do that tonight, you're willing to become a Christian, and then you can lead your home in a righteous way. Will you not do that together as we stand and as we sing?